The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, happy Monday, everybody. We are back in America, no longer in London, so we won't have any audio issues. I guess I just want to jump into the topic of today. Obviously, when school shootings happen, you hear a lot of arguments, a lot of people saying, what could be behind this? Is it mental illness? And there is a large portion of the population who believe that the violence of video games is what is contributing to school shooting. And I would like to explore that topic because last week I sort of mentioned that topic rather flippantly, and I think people misconstrued what I was trying to say. So let's dive into that. The question of the day being, do video games produce school shooters? Big question, because I'm sure your children, or maybe even you, play video games, and maybe you're playing video games that are violent. Plus, later on in the show, I'm super excited to talk about Gavin Newsom because he basically is saying, psych, to Black America on reparations. No fives. And I just have to ask, did Black people actually think that reparations are going to happen? I hate to laugh, but I'm definitely going to laugh. All that and more today coming up on Candace Owens. So let's recap. Last week, or maybe it was even the week before, we were talking about actually the topic of pornography and the way that people engage with pornography. And what I was trying to do was say that I believe that when people are engaging in pornography, it does something different to their brains than when people are engaging with video games, which is to say that when you are watching pornography, part of the reasons why it's so harmful is because you are pretending that you are a part of this scene. Like you are wanting to be a part of this pornographic scene. And so there is this intimacy that you are establishing between your brain and what you're watching. Whereas I believe people that play video games don't play video games because they imagine themselves as being a part of the scene. I gave the example of me playing Mario Kart when I was a child. I used to play Mario Kart. I used to play Sonic. I was not going home to play Mario Kart because I had this pent-up anger about road rage. And I just thought, oh, it would be so great to be Mario and to be able to throw bananas into the road. And I can just release this by playing Mario Kart. That was the description that I gave. But I saw that people were making videos about that commentary and suggesting that I was not accurately describing the harm of playing video games or why video games are violent. And that wasn't the question that we were discussing that day. I was just trying to say that I do believe that it is different for people when they are playing video games, when they are playing pornography. But now I want to talk about this topic because it's a big one and it divides people a lot. There are, whether you're conservative or liberal, there are people on both sides that do believe that playing video games is harmful to the individual and that us constantly playing violent video games could somehow be contributing to our character. So I'd like to clarify my stance entirely on the topic of video games. First and foremost, something that I believe personally is that your time is a commodity. How you spend your time, every single way that you spend your time, you are making a transaction. Every action that you take throughout the day either serves as a debit or a credit to your life. And that is not exactly measured by whether or not you are necessarily enjoying the action. So there are actions that you can take throughout the day that you enjoy, like drinking, but ultimately that would be a debit to your life. And there are actions that you can take that you don't enjoy, like doing push-ups. I absolutely hate them. They're my least favorite exercise. But I absolutely know that it is, in fact, benefiting my life when I do them. So yes, my stance is that there is no such thing as an action that produces a neutral result. Again, this is my personal perspective. It is how I live my life. It's the way that I think about my day as I go through it. So I would say my first issue with video games is that I believe that as a rule, save for the people that have managed to somehow make a literal career off of it. I know there are kids that are making millions and trillions, maybe not trillions, but a lot of money playing video games quite literally. But beyond those people who are exceptions, as a general rule, it is a massive waste of your time. I used to sit around in college and play Mario Kart, or when I used to play Sonic, I'd look up and 3 hours were gone. And you don't go, oh, well, I feel like I've accomplished something. Now, of course, wasting your time is not exactly a sin. I don't have a quarrel with people who wake up every day and do nothing or don't contribute anything to society, just like I have no quarrel with people who wake up and play video games all day. But I think that we can agree that when you evaporate your time doing something so meaningless, you just think, man, I probably should have been doing something else that could have, in fact, benefited me in some way. Now, there are people that will say, well, I play video games to relax. And the truth is you don't, because video games are actually remarkably stressful. It's fun, but it's stressful. Like, I used to drink in college because it was fun, but ultimately I wasn't doing that to relax. And it was stressful the next day when you're tired, you can't get up, you feel like crap. It's obviously not a benefit to our lives. I would say video gaming is not a relaxing experience. Your body and your brain are not in a relaxed mode, of course, when you are competing in that manner. But the second issue that I have with the gaming industry, and this is definitely the bigger one, is that it desensitizes us to violence without question. So as I know many people who play Grand Theft Auto, they are not violent individuals. What I would say that it is doing to them over time, and they may not realize it, is that it's desensitizing them to violence altogether. I believe that our eyes and our ears are the windows to our souls. So what you see and what you listen to does actually matter. I used to watch scary films. I very vividly remember watching the original Exorcist, and it traumatized me. I also very vividly remember when I was a child watching Alfred Hitchcock's Birds, and it traumatized me. Literally violent birds traumatized me. But of course, as I got older and I started consuming more violent films, I was less and less traumatized by gore, less and less traumatized by watching something that was demonic. I was becoming desensitized to demonism. I was becoming desensitized to violence. Similarly, I used to listen growing up all the time to music that had swearing. I did. Like, I would rap songs back, never used to bother me. And now it does. I no longer listen to music that has swearing because I realized that while watching a violent film or listening to violent music didn't make me want to harm someone, I was still being impacted by it. I was completely, as I just stated, desensitized to it. It became easier and less shocking for me to hear and to see violence. What's really interesting for me now, because it's probably been maybe 7 years since I listened to dirty rap and music that was more violent, is that I'm realizing that the reverse is happening. I'm now very offended when I hear it. It's just not easy for me to listen to that kind of music anymore that used to be so normal. And when I hear it, I instantly shut it off. I prefer to just listen to nice, easy country music. And so that really lends me to the belief that that is the ultimate harm, is that it is desensitizing to us. And I'm happy now that I'm so offended when I hear those sorts of words. I think it's a sign of goodness. And so while I don't condemn people who play violent video games, or rather what I would say is that I do not add myself to the voice of the critics who believe that those people grow up and they want to shoot up schools, I do very much believe that you shouldn't engage with them. I think it's a waste of your time, and I think that ultimately it is not making you a better person. Now, to be clear, it's also really important to add that it isn't just video games that are desensitizing us in society. It's also social media. We talk about it all the time on the show. It's now pretty much fundamentally softcore porn. You open your phone, you have people's ass cheeks and their breasts in your face as soon as you get onto Instagram, even when you're reading the news, the shots, the paparazzi shots, it's women that are dressed down, exposing themselves. And I believe that that contributes to desensitizing us to nudity, that all of us are in a way engaging in softcore porn. But it's important to note that all of this matters. Music, video games, pornography, social media, all of it matters. Ultimately, as I said, your eyes and your ears are the window to your soul. So take care of that. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You already know about the big cell phone wireless companies out there. They lock you into these horrendous contracts, and if you try to get out of them, they tack on outrageous charges. That's why you need to switch to PureTalk, where there are no hidden fees, no contracts, and no hassle. PureTalk's United States customer service team can help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. You can even keep your cell phone number. Their 5G service is really fast, consistent, and it will not drop your calls. PureTalk has a range of affordable plans that you can choose from. You can get the same coverage that you're used to at half the rate that you're currently paying. PureTalk is also giving you a free 5G Samsung Galaxy phone when you sign up for the $55 per month unlimited plan plus hotspot today. Not only will you save money, but you will also get the satisfaction of knowing that you're supporting a great American company. The CEO and chairman of Pure Talk is a U.S. military veteran. When you become a Pure Talk customer, you're given the option to support America's Warrior Partnership, which is an organization that works to support veterans and their families through every stage of their lives. So go to puretalk.com and enter promo code Owens for a free 5G Samsung Galaxy phone when you sign up for their unlimited talk, text, and data plan. That's puretalk.com, promo code Owens. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Okay, now it's time for some topics du jour. Man, oh man, the Democratic pander. I can't get enough of the story. I think I kind of love Gavin Newsom for this because it's just one of those things where Candace told Black America, but was called Uncle Tom and a coon, didn't support reparations. I told you it's never going to happen. Obviously, it's never going to happen, but Democrats will make you think it's going to so that they can get your vote. So this is what happened in California. I'm going to put this on rewind for you. We discussed this on the show. And if you want to laugh, you should. This is a very good story to laugh to. So back when George Floyd, after following his death, you know, everybody, politicians stood up, justice for Black America, justice, we got to do things for Black America. And Gavin Newsom jumped on this and he signed a bill creating a task force for reparations in September of 2020 because they were going to explore finally just giving cash to Black people who had never been slaves. They were going to take that cash, I guess, from white people who had never been slave owners. It makes so much sense, right? But Black Americans jumped on this. The task force had a 9-member group. And they studied the economic effects of slavery and discrimination in the state, which is weird because, just so we're clear, California had slavery banned before it ever even joined the union. So this was just such foolery. It's hard to imagine that people could be this stupid, but it isn't that difficult to imagine when you actually examine the education in California, you know, those other topics I talk about. Here is an actual fact about California. 75% of Black boys coming through the California education system cannot pass a basic literacy exam. 75%. So what happens to that 75%? Well, I would imagine that they grow up and they become the kinds of individuals that jump on the opportunity to join an absolutely meaningless task force and believe that they're somehow going to receive $10 million. I don't know. That's my guess. They become idiots. And these negotiations, this study, this panel, things got wild. I showed you on the show, at one point they were saying they deserved $10 million per Black resident if they could prove that they lived in California for X amount of years. I mean, complete lunacy. But people were testifying about the struggles of never having been a slave and why they need the money and how it would help put them ahead or blah, blah, blah. You get the point. It was ridiculous. It was something to be laughed at. Well, guess what? The 9-member group obviously then voted to recommend that the state does in fact send checks of up to $1.2 million per a Black Californian based on what has been lost to specific types of racial discrimination. So there you have Gavin Newsom. I approve this panel coming together in the wake of George Floyd. The panel gets together. They vote. They say, yes, $1.2 million. And then what does Gavin do? He says, No, you know what? Actually, that's crazy because I think the problem is so much bigger than money. Literally on Tuesday, he declined to endorse any specific recommendations made by the task force. Instead, he argued that dealing with the effects of slavery and discrimination is about much more than cash payments. In a statement to Fox News, he said this, quote, "This has been an important process and we should continue to work as a nation to reconcile our original sin of slavery and understand how that history has shaped our country. Dealing with that legacy is about much more than cash payments," as he pledged to continue to advance systemic changes that ensure an inclusive and equitable future for Californians. And what's he talking about there? Well, breaking down barriers to vote, which is a lot of words to say. We just wanted your vote, you silly Black people. What are you talking about? We're not giving you any money. We get you vote for us. You get how this works. You get nothing in return. We put together this task force to give you guys a little play thing. And like, come on, you're really, or do you think we're going to cut you checks? That's not how it works. We're going to create more things that allow us to extract wealth in the form of tax dollars, more meaningless things like tax task forces. And we're going to say that we're fighting systemic racism. But in reality, what we're doing is just, again, taking your taxes and doing nothing with it, paying ourselves. We are the communist state of California. Did black people really fall for this? Yes, of course they did. Go back, watch the videos of them testifying passionately about the ills of the slavery that they didn't live through. And I don't feel bad for them. I'm laughing. I'm going to continue to laugh. I'm at the place now. I just don't care anymore. I just got to the point where I was just like, I don't know how many times I can tell you this is happening. You keep calling me names while you're standing behind Gavin Newsom, who is, of course, the ultimate racist, not because he thinks you're too stupid to figure this out, but because he has proved over and over again, as he has empowered himself, and you continue to give him your votes, that you are too stupid to figure this out. So I'm glad you all wasted your time. Do what he says and continue to vote for him for the rest of your life. And hate Candace Owens because she tells you the truth. All right, guys, moving on and keeping on this topic of things that have taken place really in our upside down society since the death of George Floyd, where people are just stupid. Well, sadly, and you should be infuriated by this, Daniel Penny was actually arrested. If you're wondering who he is the individual that jumped on Jordan Neely when it was very obvious, when he jumped on the train and said that he didn't care if he went to prison, that he didn't care what he had to do. He subdued him. Unfortunately, Jordan Neely then died thereafter. And there were calls, obviously, Black Lives Matter, to take out the hero, arrest Daniel Neely. I'm going to take one out of Black Lives Matter's book and say his name, Daniel Penny. Say his name, Daniel Penny, because it is completely and utterly outrageous that at the very same time that Democrats are telling you that cops no longer have a right to defend you, defund the police, right? When something bad happens, when a Jordan Neely jumps onto a subway and is making it very clear his intention to get violent, saying that he's willing to go to prison for the rest of his life. Oh, and let's just back this up, by the way. What are some of Jordan Neely's other background arrests? Well, amongst his 44 arrests, stemming over, I believe, 10 years, 44 arrests. In 2015, he was caught attempting to kidnap a 7-year-old girl by dragging her down a street in Inwood. He was arrested and later pled guilty. Yeah, I did try to kidnap a 7-year-old girl, to endangering the welfare of a child, and he received a sentence of just 4 months in jail. Could you imagine that someone who tried to abduct a 7-year-old girl only had to go to prison for 7 months? Yeah, this is your post-BLM world. This is post-BLM America, where you just don't arrest a black man. You don't keep him in prison for long because something about racial equity and diversity and inclusion. Think that's enough? In 2019, just a few short years ago, he punched a 64-year-old man in the face. In 2021, just 2 years ago, he punched a 67-year-old woman in the face as she exited the subway, causing serious injuries because he was a psychopath. And now he's being elevated to the level of George Floyd. And people are like, but he used to impersonate Michael Jackson. I don't care if he used to impersonate Michael Jackson. If I had been in the subway, I would have been helping Daniel Penny. Say his name, Daniel Penny. I hope that all of you guys have done like I did and given money to support him, because it is, again, outrageous that there are calls for him. Here is, we have a video here. Absolutely horrific if this is the American society that we live in. So, yes. Going back to finish my earlier thought, what they say to you is police are no longer allowed to defend you. Defund the police. We don't want the police taking out our criminals. But then they add on to that. They tack on another portion. They say, but you also don't have a right to defend yourself against the criminals. So what do they want? What are they actually advocating for the left? A society in which criminals can run rampant onto the street and in which criminals are allowed to harm you, kidnap your children, and you better not touch them. You better not call 911. It is absolutely sickening and appalling. And obviously, we are following this story closely. Say his name, Daniel Penny. Speaking of how the left loves criminality, I am sure you are all following this. If you're not, it's probably going to be around you. You're not going to be able to ignore it much longer. But Title 42 has expired, and now we have a bunch of people running over the border, as they tend to do. So just to back it up, in case you don't remember what Title 42 is, it was a pandemic-era order that allowed authorities to use public health law, COVID to rapidly expel migrants crossing over the border, denying them the right to seek asylum. The U.S. turned away migrants more than 2.8 million times under that order, but it came to an end last Thursday. So now, of course, there are a record number of migrants that are immediately flooded over the border. Now, how is that going to impact you? Because people will tell you it doesn't. They just need a home. I don't know. They just can't follow the law. They have to flood over to the border. Well, listen to this story of what happened to a young couple that booked hotel rooms for their wedding. Unbelievable. Take a listen.
We have family coming from Ireland, England, Canada, Ecuador,
Japan.
37 rooms they booked at the Crossroads Hotel in Newburgh for their wedding guests next weekend, all canceled as dozens of asylum seekers arrived and moved in on Thursday.
And we figured that it would probably be a situation where they would be there, but we'd also be there and it would just be fine. When we called the manager, she basically verbally informed us that no, we've canceled all the blocks for the next few months.
The past 48 hours, they've been scrambling, telling their family and friends, and working on rebooking while time is ticking.
Like, if we hadn't called them, they wouldn't have called us or emailed us.
Mind-blowing.
Gary Moretti and Deanna Mifsud are getting married on June 24th and had more than 15 rooms booked at the Crossroads. They called them this morning.
They're just going in circles because nobody wants to say anything.
No.
And then they just hang up on you.
I can't even imagine being in this predicament. I can't even imagine what kind of fire I would breathe out of my mouth if this happened to me. You plan your wedding. People take years to plan their wedding. If you're doing it quickly, at least a year usually to plan your wedding, you have guests flying from all over the world. And then you find out that all of your hotel rooms are canceled because the hotel decided that they want to accommodate migrants. Now, what would be the incentives for a hotel to be this immoral, to turn away Americans, tax-paying Americans, and to instead say, we're going to house migrants? Well, it's financial. It is such a communist situation in which the government is essentially stealing from people, using tax dollars, and then doing exactly what they want, right? So they go to this hotel and they say, what did that couple pay? Well, one person came out and said that they were paying $88 per a night to house veterans at certain hotels. And then those veterans who were homeless are now being booted because the city, New York City, is offering $200 per a night at these hotels. So you imagine if you are hotel management, you're going, okay, well, we have this wedding and we would be able to make maybe roughly $170 for two nights as they fly in their families and friends, or we can do a deal with the government and we can have these migrants at $200 for months. So there is a financial incentive to get in bed with the government and to be an immoral, really just an immoral hotel owner who could do this to somebody. The karma, I hope, is going to be swift. I am glad that individuals are sharing their story. I hope that no hardworking tax-paying American will ever spend a single dollar. I hope that what will happen is once those migrants leave, these hotels are vacant forever because, as I said, it is unspeakable. But this is what they're trying to do in America, right? They want to help these migrants. They don't want to serve the veterans. They want to lock up our veterans, literally, when they are taking on criminals in subways. They want to force them out of hotel rooms, even when they are being paid for, when there are people that are putting forth their money to house these individuals. They say, get out, because we can make more money off of people that are quite literally breaking the law at the southern border. Again, you should be infuriated. This couple should be infuriated. I certainly am infuriated at the circumstance of America today. We have become a completely immoral society. The politicians are utterly immoral, and it needs to come to an end. Gotta get into this last story, guys, because I am shooketh to my core. My core is shooketh. I cannot believe what I am reading. I don't even know where to start. So I am at first going to introduce you to a young woman from Utah. She happens to be Mormon. It's not entirely relevant to the story. Who lost her husband. He died suddenly one night. And she did something with her grief. She has three young children, had three young children with him, and she decided to write a children's book exploring the grief that she lived through. Take a listen.
Talking about loss with kids can be a tricky subject.
Joining us now is author of Are You With Me, Corey Richens, to share her three C's to helping kids cope with grief. And Corey, I want to start with your story. What happened in your personal life?
So my husband passed away unexpectedly last year. So it's March 4th was a 1 year anniversary for us. And he was 39. It completely took us all by shock. And we have three little boys, 10, 9, and 6. And, you know, my kids and I kind of wrote this book on the different emotions and grieving processes that we've experienced last year. And, you know, hoping that it can kind of help other kids, you know, deal with this and kind of, you know, find happiness some way or another.
And to make sense and process, I'm yes. sure.
So I'm sure your heart is being pulled at. You're thinking, oh my gosh, what a brave woman. This is amazing that she's doing this. Her poor children. So many people have to deal with grief. So many children lose parents. Plot twist, everybody. It turns out that she actually allegedly murdered her husband. Yep, authorities now say that Corey poisoned Eric with a lethal amount of fentanyl in his Moscow mule on March 3rd in an apparent effort to get money from his life insurance policy. Only to later write a children's book about the grief for her three young sons. Now, the evidence is extraordinary. It's building up. There is no way that this is not going to amount to something. Back in January of 2022, authorities say that she changed Eric's joint life insurance policy, which he shared with his business partner, Cody Wright, so that she would be the only beneficiary. Really a stupid criminal. When the insurance company told the partners who own the business of the change, they were able to change it back. Now, after finding out that she had gone through this effort to try to change life insurance policy, Eric, her husband, changed the beneficiary of his will entirely and his power of attorney to his sister without telling his wife. So if she killed him, which it very much looks like she did, if she killed him for the money, she actually didn't get any. And she has been fighting his family over the estate since his death. Now, this isn't the only time that he survives what seems to have been a murder attempt, perhaps by his wife. Back on Valentine's Day of 2022, family members said that Corey brought a sandwich to her husband, and after just one bite, he mysteriously broke out into hives and could not breathe. He had to use his son's EpiPen and Benadryl to recover, and he passed out for several hours. Eric had come forth and said that he was thinking about getting a divorce from her, but decided to stay in the marriage for the sake of her sons. Now, if you are saying, maybe actually she didn't do it, more stuff could be coming out. Please note that in the aftermath of Eric dying, an unnamed acquaintance came forward to reveal that he sold Corey the fentanyl. Court documents say that she had bought $900 worth of fentanyl pills from that acquaintance before Valentine's Day 2022, and again 2 weeks later. She is said to have asked him for the, quote, Michael Jackson stuff. It's an unbelievable story. I don't know what is going on, honestly. It's terrifying. It is terrifying to think that you can marry someone and have three children with them and not know what they are capable of. It's also, by the way, I have been noticing this trend. I am sure that maybe a lot of my listeners are Mormon, or some, at least some of them are Mormon. And I just have to ask the question, what goes on out in Utah? Because a lot of, and maybe this is just what the media is reporting, but a lot of these stories and TikTokers that are coming out of Utah, of course, there was notoriously that girl who garnered TikTok fame. She was also Mormon, or from a Church of Latter-day Saints, rather. And she talks about how they're all soft swingers. She had exposed like 25 of them for being soft swingers. She then got arrested for being violent towards her husband. I don't know much about the Mormon faith or the Church of Latter-day Saints faith. And I just have a lot of questions about it, at least particularly as it pertains to those people that live out in Utah. So, and I'm asking this, by the way, in earnest, not making any accusations here. I really do would like to hear your comments. I just feel like I'm reading a lot of stuff about just odd relationship things that are happening amongst the Mormon community out in Utah. So I don't know, again, if this is just something that the media is pressing a thumb on and that's actually a misrepresentation, or if there's something about the Church of Latter-day Saints that I don't know. So please educate me in the comments regarding that. And that is all that I'm going to say on that topic. Wild story. And I cannot look away from it. Just crazy. All right, guys, it's time to get into some of your comments. First set of comments regarding JoJo Siwa. I am being very accurate in my predictions about the girl who used to just create content for kids and now seems to be going through a lot. Jam Young Yosul says of her new Rosie O'Donnell personality, "So now your entire identity and motive in life is your sexuality. Like, I knew gay people back in my old days and they were just normal. They were gay and that's that. But nowadays, being gay is everything. It's every inch of your breath and your personality and every speech. Yes, being gay or lesbian has become a character, has become a caricature. It's like they think they have to dress a certain way, talk a certain way, act a certain way. So it doesn't seem like it's a component of who they are. It seems like it's an entire personality. It seems like it's an act. It's why I don't buy the authenticity of everyone claiming to be lesbian, gay, or queer, whatever it all is. It just seems like you need attention, that you are desperate for attention. This is an easy way to get it. It buys you into a class of friends, a group of friends, rather, and you just go, oh, I instantly connect. I'm a part of something. It's strangely cultish, if I'm being honest. Sydney writes, "As a lesbian woman, I honestly barely even think about my sexuality. It is such a small part of who I am. I am 23, and as a conservative lesbian, it's honestly hard to even find women my age to date because of all of these crazy woke people that make gay their entire personality. People just want to be a victim so bad, and as a lesbian woman, I am very far from a victim, and I'm not brave or special because of my sexuality. I have so much more to me than that anyways. I honestly rarely even bring up my sexuality. There just isn't a reason to." That makes sense to me in the same way that I don't bring up my sexuality. It would be really weird if I was like, I'm heterosexual. Hey guys, what's up? It's me, it's Candace. I'm heterosexual. Let me tell you all about my heterosexual activities and what heterosexuals eat for breakfast and what heterosexuals wear. It's because you couldn't say what heterosexuals wear because we all dress differently because it's not a personality. It's not an act, right? You can't create a stereotype of what it means to be a heterosexual person. If I said I'm dressing up as a heterosexual, you wouldn't be like, oh, so obvious. But if I said I'm going to dress up like a lesbian, you would know because I would do exactly what JoJo Siwa did. I would put my hat on backwards, buzz cut part of my hair and sort of talk like this, maybe spread my legs wide and be like, yeah. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking your baggage at the airport without a lock. You think your stuff is safe, but how do you know for sure that no one is going through your personal items? When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers can see every single website that you visit. They can legally sell this information without your consent to ad companies and tech giants who then use it to target you. When you use ExpressVPN, your identity becomes anonymized by a secure VPN server, so ISPs cannot see your online activity. Your data is also encrypted for maximum protection. I love ExpressVPN because it's incredibly easy to use. You just fire up the app and you click one button. Plus, it works on all of my devices, my phone, my laptop, even my Wi-Fi router. So secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Candace today. That's expressvpn.com/Candace, and you'll get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Candace. All right, guys, that is all the time that we have for today. Just reminding you that Shot in the Dark is now available on Daily Wire Plus, so go ahead and click the link in the description and subscribe right now. And be sure to come back tomorrow because there will be a brand new episode.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.